Hello, everyone. Welcome to A Seat at the Table podcast. I'm your host, Bianca Heron, lead editor at HR Daily Advisor. This podcast focuses on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace, featuring thoughtful conversations and insight from experts, change makers, and leaders from the business world. Hello, everyone. Welcome to A Seat at the Table. I'm your host, Bianca Heron, content manager here at HR Daily Advisor. Today, we're discussing a hot topic in the world of HR and one I believe will continue to gain steam: data analytics. According to my guests, actionable database insights are like digital gold for organizations looking to achieve their DEI goals, particularly when it's properly mined. I'm excited to have SurveyMonkey's Chief Diversity and Social Impact Officer, Antoine Andrews, here with me. Antoine was also recently featured in our Diversity Insights column, where he shared insights into SurveyMonkey's innovative approach to DEI. The article is linked within this post on our website, so please be sure to check it out after you have finished listening to this. All right, everyone, get comfortable in your seats. Antoine, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bianca. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you. Again, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, well, we're just going to jump right into things, and how I like to kick things off here is with my appetizer question. So Antoine, please tell me, what is your definition of having a seat at the table?
Bianca, that question is a good one. And, you know, many people talk about, you know, having a seat at the table. But when I think about a seat at the table, it's having the ability to shape, to direct, and in some cases, reframe a conversation or a decision. But I also think about the seat as a proverbial representing people, voices, communities in itself. And so it comes with a lot of responsibility. So that seat at the table is critical. It shows up in a lot of different ways. So I think it gives individuals an opportunity to be a part of the decision, but also, and I think in a lot of cases, reframing it if necessary.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love the point about definitely highlighting those voices that you bring to the table. And speaking of that too, can you talk about SurveyMonkey's unique approach to DEI? And I'm told that that starts with amplifying the diverse voices of its own employees, of course, using its own products.
Yeah, so one of the things that's important for us is that, you know, data in itself is important. It helps us drive and really helps our customers really shape what's next in it from a future perspective. The other piece is employee sentiment is critical. How employees lived experience. And I heard someone say, not call it lived experience, but they called it lived expertise, which is something that was, you know, kind of jumped out to me. But understanding our employees' lived expertise is critical. So how we survey them, and we use surveys on a lot of different events that we have. But I think what the unique approach for us is that, as you know, in my title, I have DEI as well as social impact. And so for us, you know, we don't separate the two from a social impact perspective. How we show up in the community, how we volunteer, where we give our money, all has a thread from a diversity, equity, and inclusion perspective overall. And we continue to kind of push through that. And so I remember when I first took the job, one of the things that folks asked was, you know, how are you going to do, you know, from a DEI and a social impact? And I always said, I had one job, and one job was really to thread the needle between those two worlds around philanthropy and DEI. And that has been a key component for us. My team really loves the ability to bring those two worlds together. So that unique perspective is critical, but also allowing us to have the data that goes along with that.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm also told that by leveraging stakeholder feedback to progress DEI goals at SurveyMonkey, your company has tripled employee volunteerism and doubled efforts to diversify the leadership pipeline.
We wanted to make sure that we created a platform for our employees to give back in many ways. We do that through the standard way of volunteerism, which is people going out to nonprofits, and if you're going to paint a building or if you put together packs. We also wanted to do some things that allow people to leverage their skill set and what we call the skill-based volunteering, Bianca, that allows people to go out and say, hey, I'm an HR professional. How can I help a nonprofit understand their HR policies and really drive from that marketing perspective and all of in those ways? And so that's been critical for us in that ways. And we've seen the increase. We've also, you always have to incent employees as well. So we have this volunteer of the quarter that we leverage. And so when people across the globe are doing a lot of great work, we identify and recognize those employees from the volunteer of the quarter. And so that's important. And then one last thing, we have this week of service. So we call it week of service, represents our former CEO who tragically passed away. But we do it each week in October, all employees, we create this great experience where all employees go out and find ways to volunteer in the community.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And congratulations on all that success. That's amazing. And
thank you.
Apologies for hearing about your former CEO as well.
Thank you.
Now we're going to just peel it back just a little bit here. Like I've already said, and of course, as I'm sure you know, analytics data has been a hot topic over the last year. And some people may not truly understand its importance and the impact of it. Before we really get into the meat of things, can you just talk about the value of data?
You know, it's important. I think data gives you the ability to understand where to focus, the ability to understand how to drive actions overall. And so what we've seen is that when we poll, and you know, for our platform, we have so many folks going to the platform, really sharing their insights across multiple ways, from bakeries to, you know, organizations really trying to figure out how to apply their products in the marketplace. And so that data gives you the ability to say, where should we focus our attention, our resources? And I think that's important for us. And it's no different from a DEI perspective, how communities are showing up in the organization, where are the opportunities for them to thrive better, and what does that look like from a development perspective, from an experiential perspective, what benefits that you have. And so having that data, and we believe having more data allows you to really shape what's next in your future. And you are much targeted. We talk about listen. We want to make sure we're listening to our folks, and we want to make sure that we're acting on those things that we're listening to as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. And you've given me a great segue here, tying in the DEI component to my next question. So how can organizations leverage data alongside authentic feedback to inform DEI strategy and foster both the culture of belonging and inclusion?
Yeah, I think, you know, if companies are leveraging their data, I think one of the things is looking at it through an intersectionality lens. And so you have data that really talks about the aggregate of organizations, the aggregate of your employees. So you kind of know what's happening across the board. But how do you take a look at that and then start to disaggregate that by demographics? So how are women looking at the organization? How are women of color looking at that? How are Black women looking at it from that perspective? And then it gives you more targeted ways to think about actions overall in that way. And so that's one of the components that we always talk about is intersectionality through a data lens when you're looking at it from a sentiment perspective. But I think, you know, it's important as well when you're looking at how to leverage that from a business perspective as well. Your customers aren't all a monolith. And so understanding what your customers can bring through that intersectionality or that disaggregated lens really is beneficial.
Absolutely. I love that. And also a great quote there, your customers aren't a monolith. I think unfortunately, and in some form of another, in even way, we just group everyone or certain people or certain things into one box when we're all so much more than that.
Yeah, I think that's critical. I always, you know, as I was thinking about preparing for this, you know, there are things that have been in my life that I love all the ways and makes me different. I might, you know, might be a gray beard, redder guy, but I think, you know, when I think about history, when I think about hip hop, when I think about sneakers, those things make me different and unique. And understanding what makes your customers different and unique allows you to target and really meet their needs overall.
Absolutely, absolutely. And hip hop and sneakers will have to be another conversation.
We can always do that.
Absolutely. But even in that same vein, not hip hop and sneakers, but just using data, even with understanding employee experience, how can organizations combine HR data with employee sentiment to better understand the complete employee experience?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest components is making sure you're asking the right questions. And so if you ask the right questions, it actually gives you an opportunity to get sharper on what you want to do. So you ask the right questions and then you listen to the responses. Sometimes that's scary. Sometimes it's scary when you ask tough questions to get underneath how people are experiencing the organization, how they're experiencing your new progress and new programs that you're rolling out in the organization. And then you have to act. And so I think that's a component of us and how we talk about it, right? We want to ask, we want to listen, and we want to act and ensure us to get there. So I think that sentiment component, it starts with, are you asking the right questions to get underneath what you really are trying to change, improve on overall? So you have who the employees are and you have those questions, you combine those, it gives you a really shape of arc of what employees are experiencing overall.
Absolutely. And obviously with all that already discussed with what's happening with SurveyMonkey and the great things that the organization is doing, you're obviously, and I would say, asking those tough questions, those scary questions, and you know what it is that you want. And now you're seeing, if I may, the results that you want. For organizations who may not, who let's just say they know what they want, but they're afraid to ask those tough questions because of what the feedback may be about the organization. Do you have any advice about that, how they can proceed?
You know, I think there's a spectrum and a process, right? You have to get yourself prepared to be able to have the right team in place to execute on those. And sometimes it's how do you build up to it, right? You know what all the tough questions are. You don't ask them all in one survey. You don't ask all the tough questions. You start to peel back and ask some of the level one, level two questions before you get to the level three. So you start to set your organization up for what you're trying to do. The key to that is when you're asking those level one and level two questions, you have to get to that end state of, are you actually acting on it and seeing change coming? Because I think that's critical, because if you ask tougher questions, you get the answers and you don't do anything, employees tend to peel back and stop giving you information. And now you have people in the organization who believe that you are just asking questions for question sakes. It can be seen as performative. So I think that the key is a process and a phased approach over time. Leadership preparedness is your leadership team prepare for what are we actually trying to get done, and prepare for those tougher questions and then having the team ready to act on it to really drive change.
Thank you for that. Great advice there too. Now I have a few more questions for you, since this is a DEI podcast in general, for that. But I've asked all of my questions as it pertains to data. Is there anything else that you like to talk about before we move on?
No, I think the closeout is that you have to ask, listen, and act. You have, like, if you use those three words together, you know, asking the right questions, listening to it, and act, you can't do one or the other without, you know, the other two. So I think that's the last piece to close on.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And of course, now DEI has faced, oh my goodness, I would say insurmountable backlash over the past year. When we've seen over this, what is it, 2-3 years now?
It's been 3 years, a good three years, right?
Yeah, with a huge push for it, with the executives, especially with after the untimely death of an unfortunate murder of George Floyd. So it's been a big flag, and now that flag is being pulled down, unfortunately. So how can organizations, for those who are still touting for DEI and they want to keep it in their organizations and make considerable change and true impact, how can organizations shift a siloed approach to DEI to an organization-wide culture of stewardship and personal accountability?
Yeah, Bianca, that's a great question, Bianca, because one of what I talk about in my role is that I am not the owner of diversity, equity, inclusion, and social impact. I am the steward of it, which means it gives me a different responsibility to just ensure that we're going. But all our leadership team and our employees have some ownership in that. So I think that language of stewardship is a critical language. The other part is being sure and being clear of why for you as a company, as an organization, this DEI, social impact, are components that you want to continue to drive. Because if you don't have a certainty, any type of buckle, any type of bump you hit, you'll peel back and kind of retreat. And I think that's been critical for us. It's been a key component on how we do business. We believe that we can both do great business as well as be focused on having a organization where employees can come do some of their best work, but also that people feel like they belong. So I think the starting point is, do you truly feel like this is a business imperative? We hear the language of it's a nice to have or nice to, you know, it's the right thing to do. But if you don't feel like it's a business imperative, you'll find your ways waffling when necessary. And so I think that's important for us to kind of think about. And then the other thing is there's this feeling of perfection that we have a tendency that we want this to be perfect. And when I say this, the DEI actions to be perfect. We know there's no perfection, and to bring a little bit of hip hop in there. I think Jay-Z has this lyric where he says something like, I move onward in the only direction, I can't be scared of failing in search of perfection. And so we can't be scared of, hey, this didn't work, let's move on and try the next thing in search of a perfection thing. So I think that's critical for us as we think about that going forward. And I think that for me, that has been the way I've kind of said, let's test things. Let's see what's happening in skill-based volunteering. Let's continue to improve our volunteerism overall and keep moving forward overall. And knowing that we're going to have moments where folks are questioning what we're trying to do. Folks are questioning, is this a business imperative? But I think the business imperative, if we create the culture where people can be successful and feel like they can make mistakes and continue to move on, is critical.
I love that. And of course, I love how you just talked about that DEI is not about perfection. I think we get so caught up in that, especially with something, of course, that we want to work and we want it to have impact and, of course, move forward. But it's not about that. And even tying back to what you said about data, looking at that through an intersectionality lens, perhaps we need to look at DEI through a lens of progress instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Looking at it through the lens of progress, we have this language we use internally called better is better. And progress is progress. Now, we have to make sure that we are the progress is sitting on something that's a longer term as far as a journey towards it. But, you know, we want to continue to move forward and progress and continue to move forward. You know, we always hear that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Understanding there are moments when you're closing out a marathon where you're running a little faster and the pace is much higher. So,
yeah. How can organizations tie social impact disparities back to their DEI strategy?
Yeah. You know, if you think about disparities overall, they tend to sit in communities that have been historically marginalized, right? When we think about, you know, access to clean water, we can probably identify across the globe that specific communities are dealing with this at a higher rate. So there's a disparity there. You talk about workforce development, which is another component of our social impact strategy, workforce development. Not all communities are built the same as far as access to workforce development, workforce careers in that sense. So understanding that through that lens. And then, you know, for us, that's important for us to kind of think about it, who has access to hygiene kits, all of that. So I think that, as I said before, the connection is pretty much there for you to kind of look at. Now, poverty impacts all, but we're talking about groups and communities that you see are impacted at a higher level. That's the diversity in there that we have to look at and try to go back and try to understand it and really try to drive some change if possible from there. So the connection is there. We just have to kind of take a step back and see where it all sits.
Absolutely. How can organizations measure diversity beyond representation?
Yeah, I think it goes back to our conversation around sentiment data. You know, how our employees are experiencing development within the organization. Do they feel like they're having the career development they need and having the access to promotion? So being able to look at that through that lens, you know, being able to look at, you know, compensation through a much more intersectionality lens as well. And what does that look like from there? And then you start to ask questions that are centered around their experience overall. Do I feel like I can do my best work here? Do I feel like I have the ability to drive? You know, for us, our culture is what really, I think, is what I'm most excited about, our culture, where people come and understand that DEI is a true component of how we talk about it, how we look at it through a lot of process. And so asking questions about how people are actually experiencing it and looking at the differences between communities within your organization. And I think you're right. Representation just gives us one snapshot, just gives us one shot. Who are they? Who's there? The other side of the sentiment data, asking questions, gets us a sense of they are there. How are they actually moving through their life cycle here at an organization? And for us at SurveyMonkey, we look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like to me, at least from what I'm hearing, DEI is for everyone.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. There's a component of, you know, everyone wants equity. Everyone wants to feel like they can be included everywhere. You know, when you go to any restaurant, you want to feel like this is a place that you can, you know, they got the food you want. The service is what you want. You want to feel like the ambiance is where you want. You know, so that's what this is all about. It's not directed at a specific individual, which is why you want to look at it through the lens of the different demographics, because you may notice something that may be beneficial for one particular group, but everyone gets to enjoy the benefits of having an inclusive culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Okay. Well, my final question for you, Antoine, what's on your heart?
That's a great question, Bianca. That is a really great question. You know, what's been on my heart? Communication and how we are communicating with one another. We recently, you know, over the last several months in our organization, did some work around the importance of communicating. And that's really been on my heart. And I think it really starts with someone shared that rejection feels like death to your brain. And when I heard that, it's like, wow. And so communicating has been something that I've been really focused on how to communicate to drive transactions, right? So I'm going to communicate differently when I'm trying to get something done. I'm going to communicate differently when I'm advocating for something, if I'm trying to influence a decision. And then I'm going to communicate differently when I'm trying to preserve a relationship. And the question I asked myself after going through this experience was, in this moment, what's more important, getting something done or preserving a relationship? And it has opened up, you know, how I communicate to not only people I work with, but to the people I love as well. And so that's been on my heart probably for the last several months. But I think how we communicate to one another, looking at it through those three lenses, is something that's I think so important.
Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for your time. I appreciate you being here.
No, thank you so much, Bianca. Continue to do the great work that you do and providing a platform for others to share their insights and perspectives. So on behalf of my team and SurveyMonkey overall, I want to say thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. And remember, you can listen to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. Again, I'm Bianca Heron. Join us next time at the table. And as always, we'll have your seat waiting for you.